Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. It was a quote by Iron Mike Tyson after his opponent, before the fight, was talking to the media about how he has a rock solid plan to take down the then heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson takes this quote actually from Joe Louis, who said it a little bit nicer. He just said, everybody got a plan until they get hit. And he just said, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I'd like to bite from that and declare this to you, that everybody got faith until their faith is placed in the fire. When you actually got to get tested through either suffering or temptation to sin. When you actually got to get pushed, either through your own doubts or doubts that arise from people outside of yourself. When you actually have to get punched, when someone is persecuting you for being a believer in Jesus Christ, everybody got faith until their faith hits the fire. There are a lot of friends of mine who had faith, and then their faith got tested in school, and their faith sadly got tested in seminary, and they are no longer believers in Jesus Christ. I know pastors who once taught the faith and no longer have a faith because people wore them down so much that they gave up on the Jesus who called them to serve the people who were wearing them down. I know worship leaders who would sing and weep just as Pastor Meech does, only to look back on those moments and say, it was just a moment, an experience. I was just feeling the crowd. Everybody got faith until their faith is thrown in the fire. Jude is speaking to a people who say that they have a faith, but now their faith is being placed in the fire. And 1 Peter says that we are being purified like gold being placed in the fire. And here's the beautiful thing about gold. It is placed in the fire and all that comes out is gold itself. But all of the inconsistencies, all of the corruption, all of the impurities get burned away. But what happens when you place so-called gold into the fire and nothing comes out? You realize that it wasn't gold at all. The entire thing was an impurity placating itself as something like gold. What happens when you're placed in the fire and faith don't come out? You realize that you really didn't have faith, but you were simply placating as though you had it, and the fire tested you and found you to be an impurity. Today, we're going to talk about what is the fight of our lives. And we're going to talk about why we must fight this fight. Point one is, what is the fight of our lives? And Jude begins by saying this, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the fight of our lives, y'all. He begins by reminding you of your identity. takes us all the way back to last week where we talked a lot about fighting from an identity in the Lord. And what was that identity in the Lord? It was that we are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, or kept by Jesus Christ. Either way you want to put it, it is our identity. We being kept. We are loved and kept. We are loved and kept. We are loved and kept. And remember last week I talked about there are many people who will love you in a moment but not keep you. And you know it because they're no longer in your life. And there are many people who will keep you around but they will stop loving you. They just got comfortable with your company. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will love us and keep us. They love us with an affection that is fiery, and that same fire that it began with will never run out. They are loving us and they are keeping us, and that is our identity. We are called, identified as, dare I say, named as being kept and beloved. This is why we fight from our name. Yeah. A la Black Panther, when he was fighting Killmonger. Well, actually before that, because he actually lost that job. I ain't going to hold you. Let's go to M'Baku. He beat him. And his mom. Hey, that joint was crazy, by the way. I'll preach the gospel, too. I'm going to come back to that one in another time. But he's fighting M'Baku, and every time I think of M'Baku, I think of Pastor Ike's dog. He's like confiscated that name. But anyway, he's fighting M'Baku, and this is a scene where it seems like he's going to lose, and he actually gets stabbed in the chest. Now, just side note, like how he ain't died though, but like back to the text though. Like, so he's in the scene and he's fighting and he's getting stabbed in the chest, and out of nowhere, his mom says, "Show them who you are." In other words, remember the name that you fight from. Muhammad Ali, when he was fighting and he had changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, he would whisper in dudes' ears who would not call him Muhammad Ali, "Yo, what's my name?" And steal him again. "Yo, what's my name?" And steal him again. "Yo, what's my name?" And steal him again. In other words, he's fighting from his changed name.
Wow.
When you fight today as a believer in Jesus Christ, you no longer fight from your old status. You fight from a new name.
Hallelujah.
Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common, or here's the word, koinonia faith.
Come on.
He wanted to write about our shared faith, our shared salvation. In other words, he wanted to write something akin to maybe Ephesians. Where Ephesians just gets to open up, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." This is our shared salvation. We've been predestined, we've been adopted, we've been redeemed, we've been predestined for an inheritance, our shared salvation. That is the contents of our faith. That when you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you receive adoption, you receive justification, you receive, listen to me, an inheritance that no one can take away. But hear me on this. As soon as somebody hears those words, they simply, because they sit in the church, can begin to have an assumption of salvation rather than assurance of salvation. So he said, before I can talk about the salvation that is shared amongst the true believers, I got to write to you to contend to make sure you are one of them. I got to make sure that you actually have the faith. What's the point of talking about being predestined if you don't know Christ? This is why in some circles, I'm like, y'all spend more time talking about election than you talk about the one who elected. I got to introduce you to the elector. The one who does that work. The one in whom we are chosen. Because if you do not know him, please don't talk to me about your election. Jude says, yo, I wanted to write a Romans type letter. I could floss a little bit. After all, I am related to Jesus in the flesh. Like, I wanted to talk a little bit something about our shared salvation. I wanted to floss about the incredible inheritance we have to come. I wanted to talk about the beauty of the adoption. I know how to write Abba too. But you can't say Abba until you've said forgive me.
Come on, sir.
You can't cry Father until you've cried save me. If you do not have the Spirit by whom you cry Abba, then you can't cry Abba. Yeah. Or you're crying Abba under a pretense, and like my daddy, he ain't turning to you.
Oh my Lord.
My dad knew the voice of his children. So when we cried dad, that's when his ears would perk up. But when folks who wasn't his kids would cry dad, he's not going to turn because them ain't my children. He would actually say, where is your daddy?
Wow.
I don't know if you remember when Jesus said the same thing. You yourself have a father. But it ain't the one I think you think it is. It is the devil himself. You only gonna have one or two daddies. Either the devil or deity. And I write to you to make sure that you know that your daddy is deity.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I wanted to write about our shared salvation, but I just had to write to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith. Somebody say fight.
Fight.
It's crazy that even the way the Lord brought about this series was because I myself wanted to preach to you Exodus. I wanted so bad to preach Exodus, y'all. Matter of fact, I was so excited to preach Exodus because as you look at the 10 plagues, they're actually 10 plagues against various gods that the Egyptians had. So I wanted to floss some stuff on you. I wanted to share some stuff, like real rap. I wanted to get in my bibliotheological bag. I mean, after all, I've been to school, y'all. I know I don't say it much, but I spent money for this thing. But I started having conversation after conversation after conversation with the people of God. And I started realizing, how you gonna learn about 10 plagues and 10 gods when we don't even know the 10 commandments? Listen to me. How are we going to learn about the God Horus when we really don't even know the God Jesus?
Make it plain, sir. Make it plain.
And I mean know him. Like know him.
Right.
Like really know him.
Right.
Like not just got ideas about him that got passed on, but like really know him.
Come on.
And so God saw fit that we would think it necessary to preach to you about the faith, to make sure that you are in the faith so that we can, after that, talk about our shared salvation. But before we could get there, we got to talk about contending, because some of us have got hit in the mouth and our plan has gone out of the window. I want you to notice something crazy about the language he uses. He says, I found it necessary, had to do it, to write, here's a word, appealing to you. Say appealing.
Appealing.
This is why I shout on Sundays. Because I'm begging you to get it. It's like an urging in my heart. All week, I'm praying over the people of God, and I am begging y'all to grab hold of the truth of the scriptures.
Yes.
You ever wanted somebody to get something so bad that you can scream?
Yes.
Well, I do my screaming in my prayer closet.
Yes.
Only to scream louder out here. It's an overflow, though. If I wasn't shouting in the prayer closet, why shout in the pulpit?
Come on.
But if I'm shouting in the prayer closet, why be silent here?
Yes.
And give you a suggestive sermon. Hey, I don't know what you guys feel, but would you like to be saved?
Come on.
Like, I know preachers getting conversational, but like, yo, like,
nah.
We're talking about salvation.
Yeah.
Life and death.
Yeah.
Eternity. The kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light.
Yes.
We are talking about the most important things in life. And we say, well, I just want to suggest to you, maybe today
you
can get saved.
Come on.
This is why Pastor Ike, every time we're done, sometimes I can see him just almost on his knees. Please.
Please.
Like if you need to make right, go respond. If you don't know Christ, please don't take of the elements.
Yes.
Please do not partake. But if you want to know Christ, please go.
Yes.
Respond. Why is he pleading? Because he's making an appeal. Every week, what do we read? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. As though God were making his appeal through us.
Yes.
So as I'm begging you to get it, it is almost as though God the Father is begging you and wooing you to get it.
Yeah.
Do not turn away from the word.
Jesus.
And yet there are so many reasons why we turn away.
Yeah.
And this is why he says, I'm appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, I wanted to write to you about the contents of our faith, and rather I had to write for you to contend for the faith. So now he says, so what is this faith? It is a once for all delivered to the saints faith. There's a lot there. It's a once for all delivered to the saints' faith. In other words, the word for delivered, by the way, in Greek is the same exact cognate cousin of the word used for tradition. We don't like the tradition word because we, millennials and Gen Zers, we creative and unique. We like to do new stuff. Why you on that old stuff? We on some new stuff. And every week I got to come out with something more and more unique. Do you know I heard a pastor say these words? I lie to you not. I heard a pastor say these words, and I'm not going to name who it was. I heard a very famous pastor say these words. He was trying to preach a Christmas message about the incarnation of Christ, and he ended up preaching heresy. But as he was preaching heresy, which he didn't realize was heresy, he said these words. I've been preaching for 20 years. To get up there and tell the people of God once again that God came in the flesh, they already know that. So I got to give y'all something new.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
You don't realize that you are being incepted by people trying to be unique. Trying to be new, trying to say something new. Why? Because if I say something new, I'll get the oohs and the ahs. But I am here to tell you that them same oohs and ahs will turn into teeth grinding and the gnashing of their teeth. Why? Because all them oohs and ahs ain't going to help you when you see Jesus face to face.
My Lord.
Y'all, listen to me.
My Lord.
Real rap. It's way more pretty things I can do than preaching Jude.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, me and Meach do it all the time. Like, on the spot. Like, for real. Like, this is no joke. The kind of stuff we see on TikTok and Instagram, like, we can just do it on the spot.
Yeah.
And get a whole bunch of oohs and ahs.
Yeah.
But the oohs and ahs are going to turn into ouch. If you are sent away into eternal condemnation.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what benefit is an ooh and an ah?
Come on.
I'm not trying to come up here and be unique. I'm just trying to preach to you to contend for the faith that was, listen to me, once for all, traditioned amongst the saints. Now, let me say this. We, as a people of New Creation Fellowship, we believe in perfect unity, which means there are different expressions of the faith. Orthodox Church does it differently. Catholic Church does it differently. The Presbyterian Church does it differently. The Lutheran Church does it differently. The Baptist Church does it differently. The Methodist Church does it differently. All these different places have a different expression. But the tradition, once for all, handed down to the saints, has a name, Jesus.
Yes.
So the Orthodox Church, Jesus, perfect life, his perfect life, his justifying death, and his victorious resurrection, plus icons. The Catholic Church, Jesus's perfect life, his justifying death, and his victorious resurrection, plus penance. The Presbyterian Church, Jesus's justifying death, his perfect life, his justifying death, and his victorious resurrection, plus infant baptism.
Okay.
The Baptist, Jesus's perfect life, his justifying death, and his victorious resurrection, plus believer's baptism. And we could go on and on and on and on and on down the list. But the thing that don't change is that Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a justifying death, and he rose victoriously from the grave so that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was this dude, I think his name was like Francois Botta or something like that. And he called himself fighting Mike Tyson. And so, like, he came in the ring like taunting bull. You know, I'm like talking trash, like Sugar Ray Leonard type John. You know what I mean? And bro got knocked out cold. I mean, you know, like, some knockouts is like, dang, that was a good hit. Other Jones is like, why did you even show up? And we laugh at that. But like, listen to me. This is how the principalities and the powers and the forces of darkness be looking at some of us, because we be getting in the ring trying to show off with what we know and saying cool phrases. And then we get sucker punched in the mouth by the evil one. And it's like, why did you even show up? Everybody got a plan till they get punched in the mouth. Y'all be, man, I be seeing it. Can I just talk? Like, I've been in so many, as a pastor, I've been in so many different group me's and group messages and all this. I be hearing, yo, other day, yo, I was reading Revelation. And yo, you don't even know that John connect to John. And that John connect to, you don't even know Exodus. And it's crazy. Like, I saw the same word in all three places. Not knowing that it's Hebrew and Greek, so we got to do that work.
Yeah.
But sound smart, though.
Yeah.
And then what we doing, we trying to get them hearts. And the likes, because it sound good.
Ooh, that's all you get.
Meanwhile, you're cheating on your wife. Everybody got a plan till they get punched in the mouth.
Wow.
You know, his first jab, I'm gonna go like this, bam. And then the next one be like, oh. And then the next one I'm like, uppercut, blah, blah.
Yo,
and then you get in the ring with Iron Mike. And he knocked you out. Wasn't ready for that. Listen to me, y'all. Some of y'all been getting punched in the mouth, but you know a lot. Because you got to plan stuff. But the text says contend. Epi agonozime. Epi, which intensifies agonozime. Agonozime is the word from which we get the English word agonize. We don't like a faith in which we gotta agonize. We want it to be easy, cakewalk. No, sometimes you gotta agonize in prayer. Lord, help me.
This be my prayers, maybe not yours. Lord, help me. I'm walking around the streets and I want my eyes to only be for my wife. Please help me to see other young ladies as your daughters and not an object. Lord, there are family members that I know who do not know you, but they think they do because they have grown up in church. Please help them to recognize they are not saved and then save them, please. Lord, I have doubts in my mind, questions about certain passages of scripture that I don't understand. Please help me to understand them so that I do not give into my doubts. I'm agonizing. Like, this is when I, like, every time I ask people, what does your time with Jesus look like? Mm-hmm. Not do you pray? Mm-hmm. Because everybody will say, oh, yeah, I pray. Yeah. That's the one they skip to the real quick, right, by the way, not scripture. Because anybody can say, yeah, I talk to God.
Yeah.
Do you know, I believe this. 9 out of 10 people who do not follow Jesus, who never find themselves amongst the body of Christ, who don't even believe that Christ has risen from the dead. 9 out of 10 people, especially I think amongst the minority community, probably gonna say, I pray. It's almost like when James says, the demons believe in trouble. Awesome. You do what people who don't even believe in the resurrection do. You say things to God. You ask for stuff. Awesome. They do too. I want a new job. They say the same thing.
My God.
But do your prayers sound like a contention for the faith, though?
Wow.
Like a fight for the faith, though. Do they sound like kingdom prayers? Are you agonizing? Or every time sin shows his head, all that plan goes out the window and you just like, plow.
Oh, wow.
He said, this is why I got a right to, for you to contend. You must fight. Say fight.
Fight.
But notice the text. After he says that it is a faith, he says that was once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, this tradition was not just a tradition for one generation, but it's been a tradition handed down throughout all generations.
Yeah.
Everybody want to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
Just be a believer.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Just be a Christian.
No, for real.
Just a regular one, though.
No.
You don't even have to do anything crazy. Just be a regular, normal follower of Jesus Christ, and you will be a part of the greatest thing in history. You become an ambassador, a representative of not the White House, but of God's house.
Come on, sir.
What is bigger than that? Just join the team.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
And this is why this is the fight of our lives. But I have to finish this section by redefining one word for you. And I've held out to this point. The word is faith. Say faith. Say it again, say faith.
Faith.
Say it again, say faith.
Faith.
Faith, just, I'm going to just say this. Most of y'all, you're going to have to redefine what you believe faith is.
Yes. Help us.
Because listen to me. Faith is not thinking thoughts that are true.
Come on.
Like sometimes we believe we're of the faith just because we can say, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Pastor Ike tells his story all the time of how he can tell you, yeah, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knew the tenets, but it did not change his heart. Faith is, listen to me, an action of the heart, where the heart repents and turns towards God in full clarity and says, not my will, but your will be done in my life. It is, listen to me, not just thinking, it is an entrusting. So there's been a lot of planes crashing, and it has been insanely tragic.
And the craziest one for me was seeing the crash in Northeast Philly, nearly literally by Roosevelt Mall. And you see like flames going up, and it's like, and it was like a medic plane. And I just think about that, and I'm like, man, like, you think you're on your way to salvation, only for the whole thing to come crashing down. And listen to me. That tragedy broke my heart. But then I began to think about people, especially in the Bible Belt, who think they're on the plane of salvation, only for that thing to come crashing down. And if you cry tears over what happened in the physical, I am begging you to join me in weeping for what is happening in the spiritual. Do you feel the hauntingness of that? People just showing up, showing up, showing up, but they have not yet entrusted themselves to Jesus. They might do the things, raise their hands, celebrate, hey, yo, but they have not yet entrusted themselves to Jesus. They have not yet let Jesus be the pilot of their plane. They don't mind talking about Jesus as a pilot, just as long as he don't tell them to sit down.
Oh, wow. Come on.
They don't mind him having the title pilot, just as long as the pilot can't command me to do something on his plane.
Wow.
Like, this is why, listen to me, this is why we have to redefine the way we think about the word faith. And I'm going to encourage you this. Instead of using belief or faith, start to replace it with trust. Have you entrusted yourself to Jesus? Have you trusted him? This is why in 1 Timothy, multiple times, it uses the word trustworthy, which is from the same cognate of the word faith, pistis. And that word all mean the same thing, to entrust yourself, to give your homage and allegiance to another. This is why Jesus in the Gospel of John said he did not entrust himself to man, because he knew what was in them. But then later he would say, my followers, he will make his home with them. In other words, he will not entrust himself to the world, but to those who believe in him, he will literally entrust himself. Do you see that? In other words, you have not yet trusted in Jesus until he has entrusted himself to you. So the question to know if you have the real faith, look at me, eyes here. The question to know if you have real faith is not, please listen to this, is not, can you say all the doctrinal checklist? The test is, do you have the spirit of the one who gave the doctrine? Can you say with confidence the Spirit of God lives in you?
My Lord.
Can you say with confidence the Spirit of the living Christ lives in you? Can you say with confidence the Spirit of the living Christ lives in you? If you cannot say that, maybe today is the day that you should actually entrust yourself to Jesus so that he can entrust himself to you. This is the fight of our lives. But now we explain why to fight. I'm almost out your way. Verse 4. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert, say pervert, the grace of our God into sensuality and deny, say deny, our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm going to unpack this and I'm going to be out of your way. The first thing we see is that certain people, say certain.
Certain.
He said, this ain't everybody. Yeah. Matter of fact, within the church, I ain't even going to say within the church or within the church. I ain't even going to say it's the majority. But there are certain people who, here's the text, who crept in unnoticed. The language there is, I think, better translated, maybe,
secretly trespassed.
Wow.
You ever been to a house with a fence and it says, do not trespass?
Yeah.
And you feed them, see them, we used to call them baby kids. You see them kids, just don't, little rascals, whatever works for you. And you see them kids who jump the fence.
Yeah.
But on the other side,
yeah,
sneakily though, just for a thrill. It's people creeping in unnoticed just for a thrill to see how they can tear down the church from the inside out.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Come on, sir. Come on.
There are different violations in boxing. You got the headbutt. You got the low blow. Now, the headbutt, you know what it is. You literally hitting somebody with your head. Headbutt. The low blow is... you take your fist to you know what I mean, and you give it a clean you know what I mean. All right. It's almost as though Jude is saying these people creep in unnoticed, who was already written about, by the way, which means that God the Father already knows the schemes that they try to come up with. It's part of his plan. All he's going to do is just counterpunch them. But they come in and notice the text, and they pervert low blow, the grace of God, into sensuality. Wow. It's a perverted strike.
Wow.
And they butt the head of the church out of his own church by denying the only master and Lord Jesus Christ.
Ooh, wow.
The headbutt and the low blow of these certain people, I believe, today, 2025, is killing the Christian community.
Yeah.
This idea of perverting the grace of God into sensuality, the reason why it's a perverted blow, it's a low blow, is because you don't even recognize you've been hit until 2 seconds later.
Wow. Wow.
Like, dang, how did I start compromising again? How did I return to that vomit that I thought I left? How do I find myself in former addictions? You've been low blowed. Takes a while for it to settle in, and then the steam comes later. They pervert the grace of God. The grace of God. How many times do I got to hear sermons about grace? God loves you. Grace, God's with you. God, grace, God forgives you. Grace, 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 grace. And the way it is preached, because it is preached apart from a bloody cross, is it is almost as though they think grace excuses you, not forgives and empowers you. So you take grace, trade, transfer, and you give back sensuality.
Jesus.
Like, you don't know, but the reason why you're probably struggling in certain addictions is because you have a twisted understanding of God's grace.
My God today.
I don't know how many brothers I've talked to, and they've been trained to think God will just forgive me. 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 But listen to me. When that is your mindset, how is that lockstep with the Spirit of Christ? Or dare I use his other title, the Spirit of Holiness? Would the Spirit of Holiness train you to think God will just forgive me? Or would the Spirit of Holiness compel you to agonize against that sin?
Yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes. Well, yeah, I just can't help it. You certainly can't. That's the gospel. You can't help it. So the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead came to help you. Lord,
preach, man.
Because I am so tired of marriages being destroyed.
Yeah.
Because a dude has been given a twisted view of grace.
Come on, sir.
I have met
I have met personally pastors. I have met personally pastors. I have personally met pastors who will say things like, God knew he made you a man. And so it's better to get off this way than to get off that way. Pastors sleeping around in the church. Pastors sleeping around with leaders in the church. Pastors using their calling from God, their charisma, dare I say grace, to pervert it into sensuality against God's flock.
Help, Lord. Help, Lord God. Help, help, help.
And we wonder why young men in the church find themselves in addictions of sexuality that all they can say is, I can't help it.
Jesus.
Grace never ever says, I can't help it.
Never.
Right.
Ooh, never.
Because grace has a name and he came to help you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is a low blow doctrine. And it will not stand here in New Creation Fellowship, yo. We ain't gonna talk like that.
Jesus.
Call a spade a spade. I decided. Forgive my language. I've decided to masturbate.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
I decided to watch pornography.
Come on.
I decided to go over her house.
Come on.
Because the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in me, and I denied my master. And I denied the Lord. That's what happened. So now I am in need of God's grace to forgive me and help me to overcome.
Preach, man. Preach, preach.
And I thank the living God that he has given us a gospel that has already overcome. Oh, what whack preaching would be if all I could tell you is do better next time. That's when I would just suggest, maybe try them out.
What?
Want to be saved?
No, thanks.
Because look at me. If that's all it is do better next time, I might as well just suggest that.
Jesus.
But if I know a solution that has come to conquer not just death, but the sin you say you can't help it to do.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to preach from my chest, y'all.
Yes.
And yeah, I might press in conversations too.
Hallelujah.
What's going on in your life?
We need all that.
Yeah, I went to work the other day and it was good, man. My boss is tripping. I ain't say your work life. I say your life.
Yeah,
well, that's part of it, man. My boss be tripping. And we try to get on these, we try to get on these soap boxes because we don't know how to apply the soap of the gospel to our sinful box. So we just talk about this other stuff as a distraction from what's really taking us down.
Wow.
All of it is a low blow.
Wow.
A perverting of the grace of God into sensuality. And it leads to denying our only, say the word master.
Master.
They ain't no cuss word. Black people, listen to me.
Come on, help us.
Bro. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. We don't want this right here. Listen to me, black people, because I know as soon as y'all see it, well, what you mean by master though? Like, if Jesus is a white southern slave owner, get at me.
But if Christ don't reflect them at all, he's master. He ain't white, and he ain't no slave driving, whipping, back whipping slave master from the deep south. Jew from the Middle East, who love the God of heaven because he is the God of heaven. He came, listen to me, not to master, but actually to enlist himself as a slave. What you mean by master? I'm talking about the one who enslaved himself for you, that master. The master who would take the chains for you. The master who was willing to take them whippings for you. That master. Ain't no southern slave owner doing that. Let's switch places. Jesus said, let's switch places though. That master. And Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, listen to me, means that he gets to call the shots, though.
Yeah. That's it. Amen.
His word ain't no suggestion.
Yeah.
I am so tired of coming to people with Bible, and then this is what I hear back to me. Well, why you always got to bring up the Bible?
Wow. What you mean?
Right.
You mean, why do I always have to repeat back to you the words of your loving friend who became a slave for you, whipped for you, and died for you? You mean, why do I got to keep talking about the words of the one who loved you enough to take your punishment that you deserved? You mean, why do I keep bringing up the words of the one who is God and is perfect, and yet you are imperfect, and yet just to be next to you, he came and became one of you and then took upon himself your sin so that you could take upon yourself his righteousness?
My Lord.
You mean, why I got to keep talking about his words?
My Lord, hallelujah.
I thought they would matter to you.
Jesus.
That's why.
Jesus.
I thought you loved him. That's why. I thought he was Lord to you. That's why. I thought as soon as I would say those words, you'd be like, "Dag, that hurts."
Yeah.
But you got it.
Jesus.
I ain't talking about even interpretation. I'm talking about I'll just sit and read it. What that mean to you? Why you guys bring up the Bible? The text, though? Y'all. There is a doctrine that is spreading like gangrene in the church and is causing even some of the most supposedly faithful to deny the only master and Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, my Lord.
And look at me in my face.
Jesus.
This is why we preach the master and Lord Jesus Christ every single week, because you need him on repeat. So fight.
Yes.
What's the fight of your life? For the faith.
Yes.
Why fight? Because there have been some people who have came in and violated us. Given low blows and butting out the head of the church. And then still calling it church.
Wow.
So what hope do we have in this fight? What hope do we have in this agonizing, in this strain? Do we simply fight alone? Do we simply fight for a victory? Nah, y'all. He already holding the championship belt. God the Father sent God the Son into a sinful world. And there are three primary ways in which Iron Mike Tyson got taken down. It was a straight, it was a right hook, and then it was an uppercut. So, God the Son comes on the scene, and he lives the straight and narrow life.
Okay.
33 years of it, by the way. so perfect in his righteousness that he doesn't just live the straight way, he becomes the straight way. But then he takes that straight life all the way to the cross. But the work of the cross had already been written. It was already designated for him to undergo this condemnation. And Isaiah says these words in Isaiah 53, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to who has the arm, dare I say, the right arm of the Lord been revealed? He would go on to say in that very song that he was bruised for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Yes. Amen. Satan, sin, and death did not realize that all this was the trial, the arrest, the betrayal, the beating, the mocking, the spitting, the crucifying, the crown of thorns on his head. All that was Jesus' right hook. Because Christ himself is the right hook of God the Father. And then he's buried in a tomb. Hoo-wee. And it looks as though Satan's final blow has taken him out. So count one, Friday. Count two, Saturday. But then what they didn't realize, though, is that in order to get more power on the uppercut, you got to come from a lower position. So Jesus, after being cut down, upped himself out of the grave and gave the meanest blow to Satan, sin, and death itself, because they were scheming in the trial. They were scheming at the betrayal. They were scheming at the crucifixion. But everybody got a scheme until they get hit in the mouth. And he put death to death, knocked it out cold, and it wasn't technical. And then he ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will return one day. And on that day, we will see that he is better than any champion that has ever come along. For while Mike was an iron, thank you, Joseph, Jesus was a diamond. Let's pray.